And I spent a couple weeks there, and as a part of that, spent a significant amount of time in orphanages in Ukraine. And even though Ukraine is a free country, many of their systems still operate under a communist mindset, and so they have large orphanages. They're quite large. Hundreds of kids can be in them, and alcoholism is quite significant there. I was about 10 years ago I was there, so it could have changed, I hope. It was not uncommon for children to just be abandoned in front of hospitals, things like that. And so many of them would grow up in orphanages. And if you've never been in an orphanage, let me encourage you to make that a life goal. Put that on your bucket list. I know we like to put lots of other really great things on bucket lists. That's one you should put on, because there's nothing like spending time in an orphanage. It will absolutely rip your heart in half, but it will it's a pain that is absolutely worth experiencing, because God cares very deeply about orphans, right? He tells us to take care of the orphans and widows. And he's a father to the fatherless. And so when you have those opportunities, I'd encourage you to take it. This is one way that we can show love to kids all around the world. So I just want to encourage you about that. As you can tell, I'm having a little problem with my voice. I got a bad head cold this week. I was actually homesick for 2 days, and my voice had been fine actually up until this morning. So we're going to stop and we're going to pray, and we're going to give God thanks. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way. And we're going to give God thanks. We're going to ask Him to help my voice. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, that we can be here together. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. God, I pray that you heal my voice and you help me. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord. I pray that whatever they need, God, wherever they need you, that, Lord, you would show yourself faithful and strong now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You are so very good. We love you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So it is Thanksgiving, Have any of you had your Thanksgiving dinner yet? You have. Yeah, good stuff. Maybe later today or tomorrow. We're going to do one tomorrow. You ever worried about overeating, eating too much? Like, no? Did you hear that? I barely even got the question finished, and she was saying no. Well, if you ever do worry about overeating, you know, eating too much on Thanksgiving, just think of it this way. Just think that you could eat more vegetables than you might normally do. So things like carrot cake. And pumpkin pie, right? Yeah, right? You can just eat more vegetables than you might normally, and that'll help you. So today we've been doing a series on kingdom culture, and we've looked at honor for the last couple of weeks. Today we are going to look at Thanksgiving, because, of course, it's the holiday, but it also, Thanksgiving is a part of the culture of the kingdom of heaven. And you find it all through Scripture. And Thanksgiving does things for us in that when we have, when we are thankful to God, it changes us, it helps us, shifts our heart and mind. And so we're going to look at that. We're actually going to read from Psalm 100 this morning. And Psalm 100, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It says this, that it's called a psalm for grateful praise. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. You know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's good scripture right there. Talks about thanksgiving and thankfulness and worshiping God and entering into His presence. C.S. Lewis one time wrote that joy is the serious business of heaven. And I love that quote. Joy is the serious business of heaven. God desires His people to be joyful, to experience and to live in joy. Being thankful is foundational to joy, to experiencing joy, to live in joy. Joy is different, of course, than happiness. Happiness is always determined upon external circumstances. Joy, however, is an inside job. Joy starts in here, starts in your heart, starts in your mind, your attitude. And thankfulness is a posture. It's a position, a posture of your heart before God. It's not just being thankful for the good things that are happening around you. It's being thankful for Him, for what He's doing, even when you can't see Him necessarily at work. And so it's a position of our heart. And that posture leads us. It produces joy. I think, my belief, is that believers should be the most joyful people on the planet. You sitting here should be the most joyful people. Me too. Now, as I say that, I'll be honest, it challenges me because as I had a bad head cold this week, I probably wasn't the most pleasant person. Funny how circumstances and situations can affect our attitude. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't still have some joy. Joy is something that is in here. It's an inside job. And so joy leads to hope. It leads to a place where we enter into God's presence, which is what Psalm 100 is talking about. I think the believer should be the most joyful people on the planet, that even in difficulty and hardship, that even in when things are good and when things are not good, we have a joy that carries us through. Your sin is forgiven. Right? Completely forgiven. Scripture says there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Right? You will someday go to be with Him in heaven. When that happens, right? Because we tend to view this world as the most real thing, but it is not. That what is the most true, the truest and the most real thing is God, is the kingdom of God, it is heaven. And so someday when we all pass from this earth to the next, it is a momentary passing. It is not a long, arduous journey from this life into the next. It is a blink, a heartbeat, and you're in His presence. And every care and concern that you have in this world is gone. It is forgotten. It is a long, distant memory. Someday, the cares and concerns of this world, we'll look back at them and look at them as Scripture says that they are light and momentary troubles. That should make us pretty happy, right? It should give us joy. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to like the thing or, you know, enjoy the things that you're walking through, the difficult things. That's not what it means. But we can have a joy or a hope in the midst of it. You have the privilege, as a child of God, you have the privilege of coming into His presence, right? Of entering His gates, it says. You have access to Him, regardless of the circumstances. Because coming into His presence, entering His gates, coming into the place where He isn't dependent upon your circumstances, upon your situation. It's a position of your heart. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, with praise. So it isn't dependent upon the circumstances of your life. It's dependent upon the position of your heart. So even in the midst of something hard or difficult or unenjoyable, something that wants to take your joy away, you can experience His presence. We enter with thanksgiving and praise. And in His presence, what's it say? It says, in His presence, we're reminded of what? His goodness, His love, and His faithfulness, it says. His faithfulness, not just to you. His faithfulness isn't just to you. His faithfulness is to who? To all generations. To all generations. He has been faithful to every generation before us. And so if we suddenly begin to wonder or question or doubt His faithfulness, we have to recognize that that's a lie that's at work in us. He is faithful to every generation, to all generations. So one of the good things about that, being a parent, many of you here are parents, that one of the great things about that is He is faithful to all generations. He's going to be faithful to your kids and your grandkids. No matter what decisions they've made or where life has led them thus far, He is going to be faithful to them. We get into His presence and we're reminded of His love. We're reminded of his goodness and his faithfulness. It does something to us. It changes us in the midst of being in his presence. It produces joy. And what I find is that kind of joy, when we know and experience his love, his goodness, and his faithfulness, right? When we encounter it, not just when we read about it, but when we actually are into his presence and we feel his love and we know how good he is and we're reminded of how faithful that he is, it produces joy in us because the things that are difficult suddenly become far less difficult because nothing is impossible with God. No different than when we pass from this life to the next and all our light and momentary troubles suddenly disappear. When we enter into his presence, we experience the same thing. It might not be to the same scale, but we certainly still experience it. And that joy produces faith. Now, faith tends to lead to the miraculous. When we have faith, it tends to lead to God doing things that we aren't expecting him to do, or maybe we're, you know, that seem impossible to man, but of course they're not to him. And God displays his love and his goodness and his faithfulness because he's faithful and his faith, and then, you know, we enter into his presence and then it fills us with faith for him to do things for us. It encourages the miraculous. Psalm 100 is all about the effects of praise and worship and thanksgiving in our life. So we're gonna quickly look at four things from this scripture, and then what we're actually gonna do is we're gonna pray. You're going to pray. You're gonna pray by yourself. You're gonna pray for one another. We're gonna take time and thank God for what he's done. We're gonna spend a couple minutes in worship because this is what this psalm is about, to prepare ourselves. So four things is from Psalm 100. The first is this, is that it's talking about praise. Praise prepares us to move closer to God. Praise and thanksgiving go hand in hand. Praise moves us, or prepares us to move closer to God. Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. In the Old Testament, the presence of God resided in a temple, in a physical building. So if anyone wanted to be in the presence of God, they had to go to the temple, right? And, oh, you can't see that. Very good. We are going to fix this, I swear. But that is supposed to be a temple, and maybe it looks better back there, does it? Probably not. All right. And so there's a temple there, okay, and you can see these are outer courts. So there's a door. Trust me, there's a door right there. And there's another door here and another door there. And there would be doors down here as well. These are the outer courts here, and this is the inner court, okay? So it's talking about enter his, you know, come in, with, enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And the whole goal, because God resided in a physical building there for them, or that's how they understood him. Of course, you can't contain God, but that's how they understood where God was. The whole goal was, as you entered each gate, you knew that you were physically moving closer to God. And so you would praise him. You would praise him for all the things that he had done for Israel, right? For them as an individual. They didn't necessarily separate those two things. And so they would enter in closer and closer. And the idea, right, of course, is once you got all the way into the Holy of Holies, which only the high priest could go into once a year, they were into the fullness of the presence of God. The gate was one of the first doorways they would pass through, entering the temple to worship. And so it was known that from the moment that they entered, they would do it with praise and thanksgiving. They would do that because it would begin to shift their attitude, their mindset, regardless of what else was happening to them as an individual or to them as a nation. They would enter into the temple with thanksgiving and praise, knowing that as they did it, they were moving deeper into the presence of God. They were moving closer to him. Praise happens in what is the outer court. Praise happens there, and it prepares us to enter fully into God's presence, Because it's when they're fully in God's presence that worship then happens. And we're going to talk about worship in a minute. Now, what's happened for us now in the New Testament is that it has shifted. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are temples of that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So no longer do you have to go to a physical place to actually find the presence of God. The Spirit of God is within you. So the shift for us then isn't that we have to praise as we walk through a physical gate, although that might be a good practice to get into, right? Just to begin to thank God for maybe every doorway you walk through. Thank Him for something. It wouldn't be a bad discipline for any of us, would it? The discipline now is that we have to begin to thank Him, and it takes us into His presence, which is already within us. And so we're working past the gate of our own mind, the gate of our own heart, which is sometimes it's caught in sin, sometimes it's caught in unbelief or doubt or just struggling. Sometimes, right, your mind might be preoccupied. You ever been distracted by something and you're trying to pray and that distraction just keeps coming back? Praise and honestly, thanksgiving will help that. Now, a practical thing too is sometimes if you just take a piece of paper and you write down the thing that's distracting you, then you can set it aside and ignore it. But thanksgiving will help you move past the distraction. Begin to thank Him for who He is and what He's done for you. That we come into His presence. God no longer dwells only in a building. He dwells in us. The courts are no longer physical, but now it's the issue of our heart and mind before Him. So we have to remind ourselves of what God has done and what He's done, who He is, what He's done for us. And when we do that, it brings us into His presence. When life is difficult, when your heart's disturbed, when you lack peace, getting yourself into the presence of God will help you because it allows you then to experience, to know His love, His goodness, and His faithfulness. So, let's just pause here for a quick minute. What are some things that you're thankful for? Go ahead. You're thankful for family. Salvation. Pardon me? Food. Nothing wrong with being thankful for food. We all need it, right? Friends. Grandchildren. A free country. Yes, we should be thankful for Canada. We live, I think, in what is the best country in the world. Thankful for our pastors. Let me tell you, from us, we are so thankful for you. Yeah. What else? For God's presence in our lives. For pumpkin spice. All right, good enough. Anything else? For children. Natural green space. I totally thought you were going to say salmon fishing. Nature. If I didn't hear that. Talent. Trials. Okay, good. That's good. Employment. There you go. I was waiting for somebody to get serious. Because let's be honest, it can be difficult to be thankful for your job sometimes. Love. I'm going to just hold on. I'm going to stay on this job thing for a minute. We need to be thankful. Right? Believers should be the most joyful people on the planet. If you go into work with the same stinky attitude as everybody else that hates their job, your witness is going to look exactly the same as them. You need to. So if you don't like your job, start thanking God for it. Because thankfulness changes the position, the posture of our heart. Gets us into His presence. It reminds us of His love, His goodness, and His faithfulness. Thank you. It is good. Because we need to be reminded that sometimes. Because, you know, every trial, every difficulty isn't like it's something that hits us, blindsides us. Sometimes it's the daily grind of doing something over and over again that you don't really want to do. you should be thankful to be a parent. Sometimes your kids can grind on you, let's be honest. Sometimes schedules, right, and attitudes and personality conflicts can get at you. And you need to be thankful for your kids. His faithfulness is to all generations. Someday we're going to pass over the leadership of this country, of church, of businesses, of government to our kids. We need to prepare them. We need to be thankful for them, to teach them what it is to be grateful for what they have. Okay, what else? Yeah. You're grateful that I'm stretching you and teaching you. Oh, I haven't even got started yet. No, I'm teasing. I'm totally teasing. Yes. Well, thank you. I'm sorry. Good health. Thankful for good health. That's good. That's good. Spouses. There, yes. Thankful for your spouse. Yeah. Even maybe when you don't want to be. Possessions? Yeah. It's good to thank God for what you have. One time I don't know if I read it or heard it. I don't remember. I heard somebody say, imagine if you only had today the things that you thanked God for yesterday. I thought, oh, wow. Okay. All right. That puts some things in perspective right there. How thankful we should be. It shifts us. So we need to express our thanks to God. It's a praise, right? To praise Him, to thank Him for the good things He's done in His life. One of the reasons for that we have to praise Him and we have to thank Him is because, whoa, I almost went off the stage there. Praise defeats the enemy. Okay, let's just go back to the work example for a minute, right? The enemy wants you to be miserable going to work. Because it's harder for God to use you that way. Praise defeats the enemy. So you start thanking God for your job, your attitude, your mindset shifts. And it defeats what the enemy's trying to do in your life. Begin to thank God for your spouse, and I'll guarantee you, your marriage will start to improve. Praise defeats the enemy. Psalm 8 and 2 says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemy to silence the foe and the avenger. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Our praise puts evil to flight. When you feed yourself on the things that God has done, on the things that He has done, you are resisting the devil. You're building a fortified place in your heart and in your mind through which then faith can rise and you can trust God. It fortifies us as we give thanks, as we praise Him for what He's done. So, instead of what we're thankful for, tell me, what has God done? Tell me what He's done for you. I mean, for you specifically. We can thank Him for, you know, our church and things like that, which we should. I want to know, what has He done for you? He's given you peace. Okay? Given you hope. Pardon me? Given you shelter. That's good. He's given you a daughter. Yeah, that's good. What else? Okay, so He's shifted your heart to help you see other people the way Jesus does. Okay? Provision? You can expand this a little bit if you want. Here's part of what I'm thinking. When I was my whole life, up until I was in my late 20s, I always felt there was just something deeply wrong with me. And I'll tell you more about the story another time. But when I was about 28, God, I had this encounter with Him. And God broke that off of me. And he spoke words over me. He said, "Your name's Blair. I've known you since before the creation of the world." And it broke. He delivered me. Okay. What has he done? He healed my heart from damage that had been done to it. And it set me free. It's a beautiful thing. We actually have Sozo Ministries here, right? If you're unfamiliar with what Sozo is, Sozo is a ministry that helps people get free and get healed. If you have things inside that you just can't seem to quite get out, come talk to me about it. Because honestly, right at the moment, I can't remember who runs them. Are you one of the ones that run them? Put your hand up. One of them's Chris Warren. There's healing rooms. Oh, right there, Kathy. Hi, Kathy. All right. Right. Great thing to, okay. It doesn't have to necessarily be quite that long, but what are some other things? What is God? Answered prayer. You needed something, and then God did it. You folks back there, you were looking to go on vacation. Yeah, right? You're fostering kids, right? They're fostering, and they were looking to go on vacation, and they're like, okay, the foster kids need to go into respite. The day before, 4:30 in the afternoon, the day before they're supposed to leave to go on vacation, God finally answers. That'll stretch you, right? But that's an answer right there. He might make you wait, but he'll answer. He's faithful to all generations. Come on, what else? Healed you from cancer twice. Come on, yeah, that's good stuff. All right? Anything else? He's forgiven you. That's good. Giving you a passion for others. Oh, compassion. Good. Put those two things together. Good. Anything else? He's provided. One time when Angela and I were first married, I was volunteering at a church. They couldn't afford to pay me, and we were both working, honestly, really terrible jobs. They were awful, like minimum wage jobs. And we were doing it just because, well, there wasn't a great job market, but so that we could volunteer in the church. And I got laid off my job. And unemployment probably took, like, what, 3 months to come through? And at one point in time, in that stretch of waiting for unemployment to come through because I couldn't find another job, we had to decide if we'd pay the electrical bill or tithe. And we tithed. We had no food in the fridge, but we had to keep the lights on, right? And no joke, I don't know when, but it was sometime within the next few days after we chose to tithe, there was a knock at our door. We went and opened the door. There was nobody there, but there was a huge basket of food. God will always provide for you if you honor him, right? If you obey and follow what he says, you're into his presence. You know you can trust him. Okay, there's a lot of me testimony, giving testimony. Yeah, you want to go ahead? There you go. Praise defeats our enemy. Okay. I'm telling you, I had to stop and do that for a moment because we need to be reminded of what God does, of what he's done. If he does it for one, he does it for another, because God is no respecter of men. Which means it doesn't depend on who you are or who you think you are before God. He doesn't respect anybody in sense of you've earned it more than anybody else. God does it because he loves us. That's why God will heal an unbeliever. That's why he forgives us. All right. Praise puts our enemy to flight. Let's keep moving. Number three. So these things then lead us into places of worship. We worship because God is worthy. The word worship comes from the word worth, right? Worthship. Worship is acknowledging who God is, that he is the creator, that he holds all things together, that he forgives and renews and restores, that he delivers. He is our heart's deepest desire. Psalm 18 and 3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Revelation 5, I love this because it actually gives a picture of what is happening in heaven. It says, then I looked, I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. God is worthy. We worship him because he's worthy. God doesn't need our worship. Worship is given to us to help us. We worship him because he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy of our worship. It reminds us of who he is, of what he's done. And then it reminds us that he'll do it again. Worship is for us. It doesn't, he commands it, not because he needs it. He commands it because he knows it's what's good for us. It's what helps us, because we come into his presence, and in his presence we're reminded of his love, his goodness, and his faithfulness. We're reminded of who he is and that we're deeply loved. We worship even when we don't want to, because he's worthy. Even if you don't feel like it, even if your situation or circumstances tells you that you should just hold back, you worship regardless, whether you want to or not. And I'm not just referring to when we come together and sing, although that is a point of it. When you come together and sing, if you come in and you don't want to, you bring a sacrifice of praise at that point. And you do it until your heart shifts and then you want to. And so we worship whether we want to or not, because it's actually what helps us, not because God is waiting. He's not waiting because it does something for him. It's because of what it does for us. When we come into his presence, those things that are that seem bigger than him shrink significantly when we come into the presence of an almighty God. The things that seem powerful in our life lose their power very quickly in his presence. So we need to make it a practice of worshiping him, regardless of whether it's Sunday morning, because worship is a lifestyle that we engage in with our heart and mind. It's a position, a posture of our heart. It gets our heart and our head pointed in the right direction. Number four, so we worship because he's worthy, and we worship because worship actually changes us. Jeremiah 2 and 5 says, they followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. Worship changes us. We become like what we worship. Everyone's life, everyone in this room, your life is directed towards something. And you choose what you direct it at. You get to pick, you get to choose what you direct your heart and your mind towards. And whatever it is, understand that is what you're worshiping. We become like the thing that we direct our heart and mind towards. We become what we behold in life. This is how this works. If you worship superficial things, like if you're more concerned with what Donald Trump tweets or what Kim Kardashian says than what Jesus has to say, you're going to become superficial. Your faith will be quite shallow and unmeaningful. If your life is directed all towards money, you will become greedy and self-consumed. If you direct your life towards things that are perverse or perverted, you will become perverted. We become like the things we direct our heart and mind to. Now, if you direct your heart and mind towards God, guess what happens? You become godly. You become like Him. And that is what God actually desires for us, is that we be like Him. It's more than songs that we sing. It's a position of our heart and our mind towards Him. Thanksgiving starts us down the road to position our heart and mind towards Him and Him alone. We would know, right? We would know that the life of a believer is meant to be directed first and foremost towards God. We're to worship. We're to praise. We're to give Him thanks. Everything else is secondary to that. Everything else is secondary to that. It doesn't mean that it's unimportant. It doesn't mean it can't be a priority. But it is always second to Him. Always. We have to keep that in the right place. Thanksgiving helps us keep it in the right place. Praising Him, thanking Him for what He's done, keeps it in the right position. Right? So maybe you're here today and you're struggling with a terminal illness. And you've just heard Kathy over here say, God's healed me from cancer twice. Not just once, but twice. You need to hear that. And not only do you need to hear it, you need to thank God that He's done it for somebody else. Because He isn't a respecter of men. If he does it for her, He'll do it for the next. And you need to be thankful for it. Instead of focusing on what is the power of cancer, you need to focus on what is the power of God. Doesn't mean that you deny that cancer has power. Of course it does. Here's the thing with faith, right? Faith doesn't deny the existence of a problem. Faith just doesn't give the problem the primary influence over your heart and mind. Faith says, I trust God first, regardless of what happens to me, right? I won't let the problem, the difficult thing, tell me what's true. Worship changes us. It changes us. It changes who we are. It might only be incremental changes, but it changes who we are moment by moment. Whatever you direct your life at, whatever you're beholding, you know, putting as the primary thing that you want to see happen in your life, that is what you'll become like. But God tells us we're to worship Him and Him alone first. And then what? Seek first My kingdom, and then what? Everything else gets added. He's supposed to be the priority. Okay. All right. So we're going to start to pray. All right. So right where you are, I just want you to begin to pray and begin to thank Him, begin to praise Him for what He's done for you. Okay. So that He's saved you, that He's set you free, whatever it is. So go ahead, lift up your voice and begin to thank Him right where you are. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus, for what You've done. Thank You, Lord, for Your salvation. Thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for Your love and Your goodness and Your faithfulness. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You for my family. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name. Thank You for Angela. Thank You for Abigail and Audrey, Madeline and Chloe. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. God, I thank You. Thank You for my job. Thank You, Lord, that You provided for me. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Your name. Praise Your name. God, I praise You for what You've done. All right, yeah. So begin to praise Him. Begin to praise, right? Praise is the expression of thankfulness in a joyful way. Tells Him, thanks Him for what He's done, right? So begin to thank Him. So we just talked about praise that defeats the enemy. So you can even just start there. Praise Him that the enemy is defeated at the cross, right? So Lord, we praise You that the enemy is defeated. We sang it this morning. God, we went to the enemy's camp and we took back what he stole. God, we praise you that Satan is under our feet. God, we praise you that you answer prayer, that you hear us right here, right now. That God, there's nothing that separates us from you. There's nothing that separates us from you, Lord, from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God. We praise you for that. Praise you for your salvation. Praise you for your deliverance, Lord. Praise you for your healing. Praise you that you are the God of the breakthrough. Praise you that you're the God who comes to us in our deepest need, who delivers us and rescues us. Praise you that you're the God that goes after the one, even when you have the 99. That God, you see the one that's lost and wandering. God, I praise you because I know that was me at one point in time in my life, and I thank you for that, that you found me. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. We love you. Praise you. Praise you for your goodness, your faithfulness. Praise you. Okay, I'm just going to just encourage you to speak out things that you know to be true about him, right? His faithfulness, his goodness, his, you know, that he's faithful through every generation. Whatever it is, just begin to speak them out in praise today. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, I want to hear you. Let's go. There it is. Come on, a little more. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Praise you for your goodness, your faithfulness. Praise you that you are the God who takes care of us. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you for the cross, Lord. We praise you for your resurrection. Lord, we praise you that you're coming back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, just actually, I'll invite the worship team to come on up. As they're coming, here's what I want. We're gonna worship before we go. Here's what I want to do real quick. I want you to thank God for your spouse, okay, and your kids, if they're here. I want you to thank them. I want you to thank God for them, and I want them to hear you thank them, thank God for them. Right? You're not thanking them. You're thanking God for them. So it can be your significant other or whatever. If they're not here and your grandkids are here, you want to thank God for them just because his faithfulness is to all generations. So just where you are, actually, why don't we stand? Come on, stand up because you can move around a little bit here. As you stand, we'll get a little bit of music going so you're a little more comfortable praying out loud because I know what we're all like, right? So I'll have a little music going. As the music's going, just begin to thank God for your spouse. Begin to thank God for your children. And let them hear you say it, okay? And you might need to take turns. If you're here without a spouse and you want to find a friend or you want to find somebody to thank God for, please do that, all right? Can you give me a little music, thanks. All right, so go ahead. Just begin to thank God. Begin to thank him for your spouse. Begin to thank him for your kids. Thank you, Lord.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. And bow down before him, for he is Lord of lords. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. And oh, what a Savior, isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah, Christ is risen, and bow down before him, for he is Lord of lords. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We say thank you. God, we thank you for what you've done in our lives. God, we enter now into your gates. We enter into your courts, God. We enter into your very presence where we're reminded of your love, your goodness, your faithfulness. You are faithful, God, to all generations. So, God, we even just take our eyes off the things that we see happening in the world around us, and we put our eyes firmly on you. You are the author, the perfecter of our faith, God. You will not abandon us. You will not fail us, Lord. Thank you. God, thank you so much. Hallelujah. We love you. We worship you, God. We worship you. God, in this moment, as we're with you in your presence, may you change us to be more like you. For some of you here, you need just a sense of peace and rest in him right now. You maybe been running yourself a little too hard, thinking that you're getting ahead. And God is calling you back right now to your first love. Thank you, Jesus. Praise
you. I've never been an evangelist. I've never never shoved Jesus down anyone's throat. I've never been like, you have to believe in God. It's always been, this is my belief. It's never been important to me to spread the gospel. I don't know why. And so I prayed that God would give me that desire. And he did in the most crushing way. So my daughter has a friend who wants to believe in God, but she has parents who are atheists. And my daughter gave her friend a Bible, and her parents sent it back and said to her, you need to believe that we came from apes. You need to believe in evolution. And she was at our house yesterday, and we were talking about Sunday school, and she said, I wish I could go. And my heart just breaks for this little girl. And I've never heard somebody say, I hated my parents because they believed in God. But my heart is just broken for this little girl who is not allowed. Who's not allowed to believe that there's something bigger than her out there. And her name is Stella. And I just feel, just please pray for her and pray for her family. And that God would just break them, that he would melt their hearts, that he would reveal himself to them, that they wouldn't be so blinded.
All right. Father, we pray right now for Stella. Not just her, we pray for her parents, Lord, that they would have an encounter with you, Jesus, you the living God, an encounter that they cannot explain or deny. An encounter with your love, your goodness, God. We pray, God, that the seeds that are planted in Stella, God, you would water them and guard them and protect them, that she would know you. Lord, thank you that you are faithful to all generations. God, I pray for wisdom for Andrea and her family, God, and how to minister to that girl and to her family, God. Thank you that you're using. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in your name. God, we just ask now that you be with us, that you go with us. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Pray this in your name, Jesus. I thought it was better. We're going to go out with some praise. So just hang. We're going to go out with some praise. Yeah.
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 And bring it outside with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. In his camp, well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. 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 Satan is under my feet. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. 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 Satan is under my feet.
Praise the Lord. Come on, lift up praise to him. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? All the time. Yeah, all the time. All right. May God bless you. May he be with you. And may you leave today with a heart full of thanks towards him and who he is and what he's done for you. God bless you. If you, you're dismissed, if you want to make your way into the chapel and have some coffee and things like that and visit with mother, please do so. Otherwise, enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving weekend. God bless.